Now, I wonder, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? If you could ask God one question, what would it be? Maybe it would be to explain a great mystery perhaps of the universe or something else. Maybe it'd be a why question. Why did that happen? What about this? What about that? Maybe it would be something about the future. What's going to happen in the future? And I want to look at a man today who had the opportunity to ask his one great question. A man who grasped the opportunity to ask it and went away with an answer. He went away to an answer. As we come to this passage today, I want to ask you, have you ever asked this question? Now, I've got three points. The middle one's slightly longer than the others. But my points today are there's a question we all need to ask. There's an answer we all need to hear. And there's a decision we all need to make. A question, an answer, a decision we all need to make. Well, firstly, the question we all need to ask. Now, I want to picture the scene. Jesus has been teaching around the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and great crowds have been flocking to him. And now Jesus is setting out. He's leaving the area. Everything's packed up. Jesus is heading out. And as the crowds watch him leave, it's the last time they're ever going to see him. Jesus is never coming back to this town. He was leaving them never to return. But someone is late. Someone is late. And up the road rushes a young, expensively dressed man. He sees Jesus leaving. He runs up to him. Now, in our culture, jogging is quite a fashionable thing to do. If you're a respectable person and you go jogging, people at work will think nothing of it. In fact, they'll probably think it's a really good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. You see people even driving to church, see people jogging down the roads. We also have the climate for it, generally most of the time, to do jogging. But in Bible times, in Middle East culture, you just didn't run. You just didn't run there. Probably partly due to the heat, you didn't do anything very fast there. But if you're a respectable, rich man, you definitely didn't run. That's why you have servants to do it for. You didn't run in there. This man is not a casual observer. He is desperate to see Jesus. Jesus is about to leave, never to return. And this man is so desperate to see Jesus. He forgets about the cultural etiquette. He forgets about his self-respect. And he runs to get to Jesus just in time. He runs, he kneels down before him, and he asks the one question that no one else could answer. Now, from looking elsewhere in the Bible, we find a bit more about this man. We find he was rich. He'd made it in life. He was young. He had life ahead of him. Elsewhere, we find he was a ruler. He had influence and power. And if he was around today, he'd be one of the influence. He'd be one of the people, the trendsetters in society. But also, he was probably also had religion. He was likely to be a leader in the synagogue there. He had everything, and yet there was something that all his riches and his influence had failed to bring him. He had everything, and yet there was something missing, something he was so concerned about, he was willing to let go of his inhibitions, forget about what others thought, and run to Jesus. And he realized that here was a man who had the answers to the question that he most wanted answering. And maybe today, you're looking for answers in your own life. Maybe you're like this man who have everything that life has going for it. Or maybe you wish you had the things that this man had, the influence, the power, the respect of others there. But whoever you are, maybe you realize or you see there's more to life than just the things around us. Maybe you look for answers, but wherever you look, it just leads to greater confusion. This man had probably studied hard. He knew all the right people. He'd met many important, wise, religious people. And yet still he'd not found the answer for the question he most wanted. Yet he knew in Jesus Christ was the answer he needed. As he heard the reports, maybe he watched Jesus and heard the teachings, he realized he's a man unlike any other man. A man who spoke not just religious sayings, but who spoke real truth. And there was a reality in what he said. And Jesus has the answer to the most important questions in life. And he said himself, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you may be looking all around for answers to the big questions of life. And this world will give you no end of advice. Wherever you turn, you'll get advice of what to do. But the true big questions in life are only answered in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his question? What was he so concerned to ask Jesus about? He turns to him and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This man knew that this world is not all there is. That when we die, that death is not the end. And the question that haunted him was, what happens beyond the grave? When we die, how can I ensure when I die it's all right for me? Not just now, but when I die and in eternity there. And this man had wealth, he had influence, he had religious status, he was young, but he didn't have the answer to what happened beyond death. And no matter who you are today, this question is relevant to you. Men and women, rich and poor, influential, down and out, will all face this issue. And what a question to ask. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I wonder, do you have the answer to death? Do you have the answer to eternity there? You might have great worries in your life, great concerns, things you think about the next week. You think, what am I going to do about this issue next week? But have you ever stopped to think about your greatest problem? Your greatest problem. And you know what? This guy was right to run. This was a question, literally, of life and death. And he only just managed to catch the one who could give him, without doubt, the answer to his question. So the question we all need to hear. But secondly, the answer to the question we all need to ask. Secondly, the answer we all need to hear. So seeing the question which you ask, I want to now ask, look at Jesus' response to that. And my second point, I want to look at how Jesus answers this question. Because Jesus' initial response seems rather strange. Seems like we might have expected Jesus to praise this guy, having such a concern to speak to him. We might have expected Jesus to be impressed by this man's sincerity and concern to be right for eternity. If he turned up today, we'd perhaps be really pleased. But Jesus cuts straight across his question and takes issue with a welcome. This man comes out of respect and calls him good teacher. And Jesus responds, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And Jesus challenges this man in two aspects. Firstly, he challenges this man's acknowledgement of who he is. The man is coming for answers. And Jesus challenges him in effect and says, are you willing to recognize who I am? You know I have the answers. You know that I am not just an ordinary man. Are you willing to accept that I'm more than a religious teacher? But Jesus also wants to challenge him in another way. And to understand what Jesus is saying, we need to look back at the man's question. Notice what the man says. The man says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this man had everything, humanly speaking, money, power, influence. He was probably stood out in his religious community. But there was something missing in his life. This man had achieved what most people dream of. And now he wants to know how he can achieve the one thing he hasn't so far, eternal life. And Jesus turns around to him and says, before we talk about anything, you need to wake up to the reality of what it means to be good. Now, at work, we have a lab that we're kind of setting up, or it's been set up in my work, to manufacture pharmaceutical ingredients so that for drugs and things. And as you'd expect and hope, there's a lot of paperwork goes into all the to setting up a lab for making drugs, good drugs, for people's bodies and for medicine. And it involves tons of paperwork, but it also involves checking and double-checking everything. And one of the key things is to calibrate your equipment, particularly the temperature probe. Now, the temperature probe measures how hot things are inside a vessel there. And it's important, and you might think, yep, it's working fine, it's showing the right temperature. But in order to calibrate it, you need to compare it to a known standard to check, is it right? Is it reading the right level? You might think it's fine. There's been countless examples, there's lots of examples, where people have thought, yep, the temperature's reading the right thing. And it's led to disaster when they found they were wrong. You have to compare it to a known standard to check, is my temperature probe reading the correct temperature? And this man comes to Jesus thinking that he is a good person, on the right track. All he needs is some guidance. All he needs is pointing in the right direction. But Jesus sees the reality of the situation. The truth is that despite his position in society, despite his religious credentials, he was not who he thought he was. And Jesus said to him and turned to him and in effect says, you need to compare yourself to the standard. When you compare yourself, when you calibrate, as it were, yourself against who God is, against the goodness of God, you need to see that you are not a good person. And you might be here today as a very moral person, someone who seeks to live in the right way, someone who seeks to do the right thing. And you might say, I'm a good person. I look at such and such, my neighbour, or my friend at work, or the person down the road, and I'm a good person. But Jesus would challenge you. How do you define goodness? How do you define goodness? How does your work, your life match up, not to your colleagues at work, your friends at university, at school, your neighbour? How does your life calibrate? How does your life match up to the standard? How does your life match up to Jesus Christ? The truth is that God alone is good. And if God alone is good, Jesus is saying to each one of us, saying to you and to me, that we fall far short. You may think of yourself highly when you see your neighbour or your friend, but goodness is not defined by them. Goodness is defined by God. And as a result, you and me need to realise, as this man did, that we are not good people. Now, this man had come to Jesus and asked Jesus, in effect, what he had to do to inherit eternal life. So Jesus then turns and he gives him a list. And let's read through that list. He says, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness or lie. Do not defraud. Honour your father and mother. Now, I think all of us agree that's a very good list of things. And I think if we went into Margate today or to Broadstairs along the seafront and we said, do you think this is a good list of things to do? I think we'd have general, most people would accept it's a very good thing to do there. In fact, but notice the man's response to that as well. He said, look, all these I have kept from my youth. Jesus, don't you know me? Look, since I was young, I've done all these things. I've done them even since I was young. There. Now, modern science is amazing in what you can do. I don't know if you've been to hospital for a checkup, but it's modern science. We're able to take someone without having to cut them open or do anything like that. We can see what's going on inside them. Now, you might go to your doctor or the hospital, and you might look perfectly healthy. And you go to your doctor and say, I feel healthy, I look healthy, I'm okay. And they stick you in the machine and they run the scans, perhaps a CT scan or an MRI machine, for an MRI machine, and they probe inside you there. And you might say, I'm fine on the outside. Look at me, I look fine. And he might turn the screen to you and turn his computer screen and say, you might think you're okay, but look at this. Look here. You see that? You've got serious problems. Look at that issue there. That needs to be sorted out. Now, if it was me or you meeting that man, we may have congratulated that man and say, well done, you've done a good job. But Jesus could see what no one else could see. He could see the man's heart. And out of love for this man, he is, as it were, going to reveal to this man, as it were, that computer screen, to show that man exactly where the issue was, what his heart was really like before God. And Jesus looks at him and says something stunning. He says, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Now here's a rich, important, influential man. He had all the money he wanted. He had the respect of his community. He had, was held in high esteem in the synagogue. Others followed him. And Jesus says to him, give this all up and follow me. Give up your money, your reputation, even the respect of others, and follow me. You see, it wasn't that money was necessarily, isn't that money is necessarily wrong. It wasn't that this man was worse off than anyone else. It wasn't that Jesus was saying that by giving the money to the poor, that he would gain eternal life or acceptance with God. But Jesus was revealing the hidden reality that he loved his money more than he loved God. And that before God, he was spiritually bankrupt. What this man needed to see was that nothing he could ever do could gain him eternal life and entrance to heaven. He needed to see that he was spiritually bankrupt. Nothing he could do could gain him eternal life. What about you? I don't know what your spiritual achievements are. The things that you're really proud of, the things that you say, God would be really impressed with this. This man came to Jesus full of what he had done and wanted to know how he could make it to heaven. And Jesus teaches us that we need to see ourselves as spiritually bankrupt, as those who don't just need a tweak, who don't just need a kind of a point in the right direction, but as those who need to ditch all of our so-called achievements, all of our so-called goodness. This man had a great spiritual CV, yet accounted for nothing when it really mattered. And Jesus would say to you and to me, one thing you lack. We come to Christ and say, not what I do, but I can't do anything to inherit eternal life. I need to follow you. So we've seen the question we all need to ask. How do we inherit eternal life? The answer we all need to hear, that before God there's nothing we can do. And thirdly and finally, I want to look at the decision we all need to make. The decision we all need to make. Now, recently we've been looking at the D-Day celebration, 75 years since D-Day was there. In the days and hours before D-Day, the Allied command were agonizing over what they should do. They had a great decision to make. They had thousands of troops, planes, equipment all ready to go. And yet the weather was bad, and look, the forecasts were terrible, and they had to decide, what would they do? What would they do? Once they made the decision, there was no going back. Would they go for it, or would they hold back? Would they risk everything in making the decision? And Dwight Eisenhower, he looked at the weather forecast and he said, we're going to go tomorrow. We're going to go. And we know what happened. And we're looking at a man who had a decision to make that would be life-changing. We've looked at this man who ran to Jesus and asked the question we all need to ask, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We've looked at the answer, and this man had a choice to make, a life-changing choice which would affect everything. Would he keep his money, his position in society, the respect of his community, but lose out on eternal life? Or would he stop trusting what he had done, his religious achievements, his attempts to be right with God, give up his money, his reputation, and follow Christ? And sadly, we know the answer. We know the answer. This man who rushed to Jesus turned and slowly made his way back home. And it tells us he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He made his choice. And in fact, this man went away worse than he came to Jesus. Before, he'd been a self-confident, self-assured leader who achieved many things in life and wanted to know how he could just get that extra thing to achieve heaven. And he went away knowing he wasn't good. He wasn't a good and as upright as he thought he was, knowing that nothing that he could ever do could make him right with God, knowing that he had rejected the one and the only one who could give him eternal life. What about you? What about you? What are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in your own efforts? You might be very sincere. You might be been coming to church for years, and it's great that you're here today. Are you trusting in yourself? Or are you trusting? Are you trusting in anything else other than Christ? Or are you trusting in Christ? I wonder what keeps you from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. For this man, it was his money and his reputation. What is it for you? Or are you someone today and you say, yes, I'm like that man. I realise that I'm spiritually bankrupt. I'm like that man, but I realise I'm spiritually bankrupt. And the great news is, there is an answer. And we can know for sure that we have eternal life. And as you read on for this passage, we need to remember, where is Jesus heading? Where is Jesus heading? In a few days' time, Jesus would die on a cruel Roman cross. And we need to think of this man's question. When we think of this man's question, we need to come back to the person of Jesus, who he is, and why he came. Because the man got one thing correct. He realized that Jesus had the answer to his greatest question. But we also know that Jesus was that good man, the man who was God, the only man who has lived a perfect life that you and I can never live. Jesus tells us that none of us can claim goodness, and yet he was a man who never sinned. The one who said, who humbled himself, became a man, who had everything and laid aside his glory to come and be a servant. Now I want you to imagine a boat. So we live near the sea, a boat in the darkness, its engine broken, and it's heading towards the rocks. There the current's drawing it towards the rocks. And the lifeboat comes alongside. It radios across. And the man shouts back. He says, how do I get to the harbour? How do I get to the harbour? And the lifeboat, it turns on its spotlight and lights up the rocks ahead. And then the lifeboat radios back. And the message comes back to this man. You can't do anything. Abandon ship and trust in me. And that man has a choice to make. He can hang on to his boat and everything he has and keep going in vain, trying to make it his way. Or he can give up everything he has and trust in that lifeboat. And Jesus called the man to lay aside his confidence and instead trust not in what he had done, but what Christ himself had done, to trust and to follow him. And as Jesus died on that cross, he opened a way by which people like you and me can inherit eternal life, not through what we have done, but through what Christ has done. Because on the cross, he accomplished something that you and I can never do. On the cross, my sin was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my sin, so I need never face what I deserve, the wrath of God. And in place of my spiritual bankruptcy, he, as it were, made me a spiritual millionaire. His goodness, his perfection, his rightness was given to me, so that unlike this man, I can say I have inherited eternal life. I am going to heaven. I know for sure I'm going to heaven, not because of what I have done, but because I'm trusting in what Jesus Christ, who did everything on the cross. If we could go to heaven any other way, if we could get into heaven by our goodness, Jesus would never have come and lived and died on the cross. And as we close, I want to challenge you. Do you know what will happen to you when you die? Do you know what will happen to you in eternity? We have seen a man who had everything going for him in his life, whose life was exemplary, and yet he missed out on eternal life. He chose the here and now over eternity. He was religious, and yet he rejected Jesus. What is your trust in today? If you're trying to get to heaven by what you have done, you'll never get there. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. What keeps you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ today? If you are a Christian tonight, then we can rejoice that in Christ alone you have heaven, you have eternal life assured, not through what you have done, but through what Christ has done. And we can say, as Peter says, that we have an inheritance, uncorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. I wonder, have you asked the question you need to ask? What happens beyond this life? Have you thought about the answer that you can't do anything to get there yourself? But you've got a decision to make. Will you trust in your own rights, in your own goodness, and miss out on eternal life and face an eternity under God's wrath? Or will you trust him, let go of everything else, and trust in him, and know without doubt that you have your sin forgiven, a home in heaven assured, and you are right with God? I trust that you don't go away like this man who went away sad, but like the disciples, you can say that they chose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ.